As a pastor, when you're preparing sermons, you're always thinking about, hey, I wonder if anybody's done anything quite like this particular thing. And this morning, I want to talk to you about fathers. And so I've made an acrostic with the word father, F-A-T-H-E-R. And I was, as I started out, all the F words I could think about, all the A words, all the T words, all the H words, all the E words, all the R words. And then I got to the end and I just put prayer warrior. And I'm thinking to myself, man, this just doesn't work. And the Lord goes, but you're in Pflugerville. So what's the pa-father? And if anybody preaches on the pa-father, they're stealing my sermon. So I wanted you to take some notes today, especially you dads. Now you kids and you wives, please spare us the ribbing. We're going to work harder. But I also want to say this. If the father that you had growing up, that you have now, that you had in the past was not this kind of father, then Jesus is that type of father. So today, if that's a struggle looking at your own earthly father, then I invite you to look at the heavenly father who exceeds all of these attributes, all of these characteristics. And let me just ask you to pray for us as fathers. This morning's so fun for me to call my son his first Father's Day. And he was going, Father's Day back at you, Dad. Father's Day to you, Thompson. And you dads, and I know what an awesome responsibility God has given us. Let me share with you a quote or a thought from David Pompano of Life Without Fathers, published in 1996. He says, fathers are far more than just, quote, second adults in the home. Involved fathers bring positive benefits to their children that no other person is as likely to bring. They provide protection and economic support and male role models. They have a parenting style that is significantly different from that of a mother. That is a really nice way of saying moms are better, but we're, you know, significantly different makes it sound a little bit better there. They have a parenting style that is significantly different from that of the mother, and that difference is important in healthy child development. It's kind of a natural thing. On Father's Day, you see a man, you say, Happy Father's Day. But having been around for quite a few Father's Day, I've already said that to a couple of men who say, well, I'm not a father. If you're here this morning and you don't have any children, men, let me encourage you to still be a fatherly example to others. The world that we live in desperately needs a picture of a father. So we begin, and only in Pflugerville, with P. A father honoring to God is a prayer warrior. A father that is honoring to God is a prayer warrior. Men, the greatest gift that you can give to your family is that you pray for them. King David prayed for his son Solomon. Here's what they have found. Children who know without any doubt that their dads pray for them every day own a deep sense of love and security. They did a poll and they asked him, they said, if you knew that your father was praying for you, how significant would it be? And the respondents came back to say, it would give us a deeper sense of love and security. Listen to what it says in 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 19. David is praying. He's saying, God, give my son Solomon a whole heart to keep and to carry out all your commands, your decrees and your statutes, and to build the temple for which I have made provision. Dads, we need to pray for our children. We need to pray that God would do great and mighty things for his glory through them. Do you know that David's joy in life, David's goal in life was that he wanted to build a temple for God. And God said, David, because you have been such a man of war and of bloodshed, you can't, but your son can. And David amassed all the stuff, all the things for his son Solomon to then come alongside and build this incredible temple for the Lord. Men, let me ask you today, what are you praying for your kids? What are you praying today for your grandkids? What are you praying for your great-grandkids? Do you ever stop? Do you ever stop to pray with them? Do you ever ask God, God, what is it that you want for my children? God says this in his word. If we as earthly fathers love to give good gifts to our family and to our kids, how much better his gifts are. So pray that the Father would give gifts to your kids way beyond what you can give. The F is faithful. And here's how I describe faithfulness to the Father, to our Heavenly Father, to your spouse, and to the family. The story of the prodigal son is the story of a father who never gives up hope, who never gives up hope and is ready to receive his son back with open arms. We can discipline, we can hold accountable, but we must never give up. And dads, especially today, let me encourage you to be faithful to your family. Not faithful if they do certain things, not faithful if they act a certain way, but faithful and loving to them because you know ultimately God redeems all things. Let me remind you of the story in Luke chapter 15. This is the story of the prodigal son. I'm going to be looking at verses 20 to 24. So he, the prodigal son, got up and went to his father. But while the son was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran through his arms around his neck and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father told his slaves, quick, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Then bring the fatted calf and slaughter it and let's celebrate with a feast because this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Two things I want to tell you about that story. First of all, we don't know how long the prodigal son was away, but we get the sense of the story that the father was on the porch, on the front of the house, always alert, always ready, always expectant that son was going to come back. And the other thing to me that is so pleasing to me as I read that story is when the son comes back, the dad doesn't launch into a sermon. You know what? I knew you'd come back. I knew this. You should have did this. What does he do? He has a party and he welcomes him home. I'm sure they had some discussions later on, but fathers, are we faithful to the father? Are we faithful to our spouse, to our wife? Are we faithful to our family? A, available, and I've added the word involved. I know I is not in father, but I think involved really captures what I'm getting after. You need to be available, men. You need to be involved. And you don't need to be just available and just involved at the age that you want to be available and involved. You know, I know this is not a shocker, but moms are on all the time. They don't have the option of going, you know what? I really don't do real well in the diaper changing stage. I don't really do well in this stage. Moms, they're on. And from young until old, we need to be available and we need to be involved. Listen to what it says in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. Teach a youth about the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. I believe as fathers that our responsibility is to teach them from the moment that we see that baby until the moment that we leave this life. Yesterday, my dad was sending a text. I don't know what was going on. He jumped on a bicycle and at 84, he was, I guess, wondering to see if he was still good to go with it. Just riding around, taking pictures on his bike. And I said, man, I am so glad that I have a dad who is involved and is engaged. You know, now at 84, you're not in a midlife crisis. Maybe you're in a senior adult crisis, because a couple weeks before he had a ball cap on backwards riding a jet ski. And I told him, I said, what is happening to my dad? Are you getting younger? What is going on? But I love the fact that he is engaged and involved. And one of the ways in which he is engaged, available, and involved with his grandkids is he's learned how to text. I know for you young people, it's shocking when someone of my age texts. But he does. I'm thinking of you and I'm praying for you. Involved dads have a direct impact on their children's future. Now listen to this. Involved fatherhood is linked to better outcomes on nearly every measure of a child's well-being. From their cognitive, mental development, their educational achievement, their self-esteem, and their social behavior. All is connected to a father's involvement. Listen to this, actual statistics. Children who grow up with involved fathers are 45% less likely to repeat a grade, 60% less likely to be suspended or expelled from school, twice as likely to find stable employment after high school, 75% less likely to have teenage birth, and 80% less likely to spend time in jail. My source, dads make a big difference. Dads that are much more involved in child care are seeing greater response. 50 years ago, fathers were spending less time with kids because, again, you didn't have moms working. You didn't have the volume of things that are going on. And one of the things that we're seeing that's a very positive trait is that the amount of time that fathers are involved in taking care of their children is growing. I know a lot of times on Sundays like this, we give you all the negative stuff, but here's what we found. In 1965, the average man was spending about 4 hours on average in a week in caring for their child. In 2016, that had grown to 10 hours a week. And what we're finding is, dads, if you will be involved in the growth and the nurturing and being available and involved in your kid's life, it'll make all kinds of difference. You say, well, I'm not so good at that. Well, then coach or help or volunteer. Do Awanas. Hello. There's some very tangible and easy ways to do that. The T, teacher trainer. Teacher trainer. He teaches them through training. Scripture says that a father is supposed to train their children in godliness. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Listen to what it says. Fathers, don't stir up anger in your children, but bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. So what should you teach your child? Listen to what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 to 8. These words that I am giving you today are to be in your heart. Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Bind them as a sign on your hand and let them be a symbol on your forehead. Are you teaching your children to love God? Do they understand how important and the place of God is in your own life? Prayer warrior, faithful, available, teacher, honoring. Honoring who? Honoring your spouse, honoring your wife. Your kids need to know that you love their mother, that you respect their mother, that you honor her. And one of the best ways in which you honor your spouse, men, is you serve them. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, husbands, in the same way, live with your wives with an understanding of their weaker nature, yet showing them honor as co-heirs of the grace of life so that your prayers will not be hindered. Now, check this out. I don't know if you've ever put that together. Honoring your wife, men, is important, because otherwise your prayers might be hindered. Have you ever thought about that? How important is it to God that we honor our wives? Well, it impacts our prayer life. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Honoring. E, example. A good father teaches through example. This is the doing. This is the action part of fathering. Mark Twain once wrote this: when I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant, I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to 21, I was astonished at how much the old man had learned in 7 years. Now, just in case you didn't catch that, the dad was still the dad. It was just the kid realized that he had a lot to learn from his father. Isn't it amazing how much more we appreciate the wisdom of our fathers as we grow older? I mean, you do. A father is one of a child's most important teachers. Do you remember some of the things that you learned from your dad? Maybe it was your dad who taught you how to bait a hook, how to hit a baseball, how to ride a bicycle. Later, how to drive, how to balance your checkbook. That's an old thing that we used to do, so don't worry about that one anymore. But how do you do all those things? By examples. Now, some of you moms might have stepped in and you might have helped with that, and that's not a problem at all. But isn't it amazing that we learn so much of what we do by example, watching somebody else do it? So if you want to teach your kids to love God, let your kids watch you pray. Let your kids watch you go to church. Let your kids see you read God's word. James Baldwin said it this way: children have never been very good at listening to their elders, but they have never failed to imitate them. We're not so good at listening, but we're great at imitating. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1, therefore be imitators of God as dearly loved children. Colossians 3 verse 21, fathers, do not exasperate your children so they won't become discouraged. Be an example, do not exasperate. Two very different E words. And then finally, a responsible provider. Now, I cannot tell you how many times that I'll be engaged in a family in counseling or a couple and counseling. And guys, I'll hear this: so you are not allowed to use this from this moment on. Yeah, but at least I'm a good provider. Provision for your family is more than a big house and nice stuff. I happen to have a friend who has a lot of money and has probably, in terms of material possessions, provided as much as he can, and yet his son has no desire to talk to him. When I talk about being a responsible provider, I'm talking about physically, spiritually, emotionally. I'm talking about fully and completely. I'm telling you, when I grew up, there was not a question as to whether we were going to church on Sunday. And it never happened, but I almost envisioned, you know, the older you get, you kind of dream up these crazy stories. We had said, hey, Dad, we're sick on Sunday, you know, probably stick your finger down your throat, throw up, you'll be better, we'll be right ready to go to church. I don't know. But I just know on Sunday it wasn't a, hey, what do y'all think? Are we going to go or not? And to our young people that went to camp, I'm telling you, I am so thankful for parents who believed in summer camp. I think it was to spread their kids out. So maybe for the Gilberts, this is a good plan for you. So when I was a kid, you couldn't go to camp until you were in the sixth grade. But I had three brothers and sisters. And so my dad said, you get to start going to camp when you're in fifth grade. And I go, yeah, but that isn't even my age group. That's no problem. They need people to wash dishes. Oh, my goodness. Unbelievable. So all of the kids are out there eating their food and they're messing up all their plates. And I had to take this spray, spray it on the plates and put it through the steamer thing. And that's all I did. How many weeks, Dad? All summer, brother. I think that's why I clean the dishes before I put them in the dishwasher now. I don't trust it. But it was never a question at my house. And my dad wanted to make sure that spiritually I was prepared for. So here I am. I'm starting college. I have no clue as to what I want to be in life, but I do pretty good in math and science. And I played soccer. And so I go to Wheaton College, and with no good counsel, I decide that I'm going to be a professional soccer player and an engineer. And so I go to Wheaton. I go for 3 semesters, and I'm paying for my own way, so I ran out of money, so I come home, and I start working in my church as a youth guy. And I become so excited about working with youth. And really, a great reason why I'm in ministry, because I watched my father. My mother and father, it's the coolest, sweetest little, you know, country story you've ever heard. They met as young kids and they only dated each other. They get married. They want to move away from the country, so they move to the big city of Indianapolis. She becomes a beautician. He becomes a barber. Never went to college. But my dad had a passion to see kids come to know faith in Jesus Christ. And so every weekend of our life, we were doing family stuff. We would go to county fairs and we would put together little stories about the Bible, and my dad would lead kids to faith in Christ. It was unbelievable. So many fun stories of things that we did along the way. When I'm in junior high, my dad comes home. He worked for Chrysler Corporation. He said, you know, I'm gonna quit my job and we're gonna move to Colorado. And I'm gonna work with Child Evangelism Fellowship before that, but we gotta move to Missouri for 6 months so that I can get training. So I'm a freshman in high school. I'm like, what? I gotta begin my freshman year in Warrenton, Missouri. Then I gotta come back to Kokomo, Indiana. And then I gotta move to Colorado. But I watched the Lord use my dad. And this morning when I called him, I said, thank you for being such an amazing example and provider. So men, I want to ask you today, what are our kids, our grandkids, and our great-grandkids seeing in us? Are they seeing a prayer warrior, a faithful, available teacher, trainer, honoring, example, responsible provider? Maybe this morning you're a dad and you just got roped into coming because your family said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to take you. And we're glad that you're here. And maybe what you need more than anything else is an opportunity to give your life to Jesus Christ, because you can't be this kind of a dad on your own. I would further say this. I don't think you can do that in isolation. I think you need other men, other brothers with you, helping you be this kind of dad. But I want to ask you this morning, men, have you come to the point in your life where you've said, Lord, I need you in my life. I need you in control of my life. Lord, I have sin in my life which messes me up to be able to do this. And so I give my life to you. I receive your son as my sacrifice and as my savior. And if you've never done that, man, I invite you to do that. Because then what will happen is you will have the most incredible example of all time of how to be a pastor or how to be a father. So I'm going to pray. I'm going to invite our staff to be here. And if you want to invite Jesus to come into your life, or if you've invited Jesus into your life, we invite you to come. Maybe men this morning, you and your family have been visiting, and maybe one of the greatest things that you could do is to bring your family and say, our house, our family, we're going to join this church. We're going to join this fellowship. We invite you to do that today. Or if you just want to come and pray. The invitation this morning is this. Will I respond to the Lord's prompting? So, Father, I thank you this morning. I thank you, Father, for the privilege of opening your word. I thank you that we have your son, Jesus, as an incredible example of love. Of all of these attributes, of all of these characteristics, of all of these qualities, we see him there. Lord, we thank you for the great trust that you've placed in us to raise our children, our grandchildren, and our great-grandchildren. But Father, we need your help. So if there's somebody here this morning, Lord, that needs to give their life to Jesus Christ, we pray that they would do that today. Bring their family to come and be a part of this fellowship. Or maybe just to pray. Maybe to say, today, on this Father's Day, I'm starting over. God, you are so good at redos and start overs. God, we want to do this fathering thing in a way that brings glory to you. So guide us as we respond today. It's in your name I pray. Amen.